Now, I've got two readings this morning from Luke's Gospel. The first one is Luke chapter 8, commencing at verse 22. So that's Luke chapter 8, commencing at verse 22. Luke 8, 22. One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake, so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him, and they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into them, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. So reads that reading from God's Word. I have another reading now from Luke's Gospel, a shorter reading, Luke chapter 9 from verse 10. Luke chapter 9 and from verse 10. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away so that they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here." He replied, "You give them something to eat." They answered, "We have only 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all this crowd." About 5,000 men were there. But he said to his disciples, make them sit down in groups of about 50 each. The disciples did so, and everybody sat down. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to set before the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. So reads God's word. A few weeks ago, Sebastian Soe at the London Marathon performed what people called a miracle. He ran the 26 miles of the London Marathon in just under 2 hours. People said that couldn't possibly be done. It's not humanly possible. But Sebastian Soe ran it just under the 2 hours. Was that a modern day miracle? Well, we're going to look today at 3 miracles of Jesus. And of course, the miracles of Jesus prove to us, of course, that he is the Son of God. The first one is quite a short sort of miracle. There's Jesus down at on a lake, and the disciples said, let's go over to the other side of the lake. We're in Luke chapter 8, verse 22. And Jesus said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side of the lake. So they got into a boat and set out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. Well, that shows the human side of Jesus. Though Jesus is divine, the divine Son of God, he was also human. And he fell asleep, like I did last night. I was going to watch the 10 o'clock news, and I fell asleep and missed all of it. Because I'm human. Well, Jesus, he fell asleep. And suddenly a squall or a storm came down on the lake. The boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. So the disciples went and woke him up and said, Master, Master, we're going to drown. And so Jesus gets up and he rebukes the wind and the raging waters, and the storm subsided and all was calm. And then he asked the disciples a question. Now, there are lots of questions. There are hundreds and hundreds of questions in the Bible, and it's worth studying some of them. Here's one. Where is your faith? He said to the disciples. Where is your faith? And sometimes in life, we go through storms. Things can get difficult, especially perhaps as we get older. It may be health reasons, it may be financial reasons, it may be family reasons. There may be all sorts of storms that can occur in our life. How do we deal with those storms? Do we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? No, because we're a Christian doesn't mean to say we're not going to have any troubles. No, far from it. We will have the sort of troubles that even non-believers have. We have these troubles in our life. But Jesus can calm things down for us. If we put our trust in him, he will see us through the storms and the difficulties in life. As he did here, he calmed everything down. And there was a peace on that lake there. And they were amazed, and they said to one another, who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. What a wonderful Savior our Lord Jesus Christ is. He brought calm into that stormy situation. He can bring calm into your life as you put your faith in him. Then we come to the second miracle. Now, this is quite an interesting one. This demon-possessed man. Now, this man was at rock bottom. There is a doctrine called the total depravity of man. And I guess this guy really fits that doctrine. He was totally depraved. Now, what do we know about him? There's this demon-possessed man. He was naked. he had not worn clothes. He did not live in a house. He was presumably homeless. He lived near the tombs or in the tombs. He identified with death. He was a real down and out. But he knew, and the demons knew, who Jesus was. "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." The demons knew that this was Jesus, the Son of God. Now, let's be careful here. There are a lot of people today with mental issues. There has been an increase in people with mental issues, even young people, we are told. Some blame it on the pandemic. There was this funny, strange business in Edinburgh. I don't know if you saw the news last night. A man went round sort of attacking people in Edinburgh. And these are people with mental issues that there are around today. But not everybody with a mental issue is demon possessed. Don't think so. There's not demon possession behind many of our mental issues today. There are some people perhaps who are possessed by demons today. That is true, but we must have a balance here. But this man really was seriously mentally ill, and he had been chained hand and foot and kept under guard. But we read even the chains had been broken. The power there of the evil, the power of evil in him was immense. And we mustn't underestimate the power of evil in society today. It's a very real power. And there's a constant battle going on, isn't there, between good and evil. And every time we pray, we engage in spiritual warfare, don't we? Every time that we pray. Anyway, you know the story. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," because he had many demons that had gone into him. And then Jesus cast out the demons, and the demons, it's a rather strange story, isn't it? The demons go into these pigs, and these pigs sort of rush down and disappear and drown and so on. But now the amazing thing about this story is this. The man from whom, this is verse 38, the man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with Jesus, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." Now, this man had been totally transformed by Jesus. As I say, he couldn't have been much worse than he was. He was in absolute rock bottom, but Jesus transformed him. He became a new person, The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and all has become new. He became a new person. He was released from the evil that was within him, the sin that was within him. And notice this at the end of this reading that we had. Jesus said to him, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. So this man, who was a complete, utter wreck, became an evangelist. He went over the town, all over the town, telling how much Jesus had done for him. And we are to be evangelists in our own community, in witnessing for our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes our witness can be practical. We can help people, perhaps who have a need of some kind, but we can also speak to them about what Jesus has done for us. So a man totally transformed by the risen Christ. What a wonderful story that is. And then we have the third miracle here, the feeding of the 5,000. So there the disciples said, send the crowd away so that they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here. But Jesus said, you give them something to eat. But they said, we've only 5 loaves and 2 fish. This boy had brought for his lunch, I guess. But there were 5,000 people there. Now, what do we notice, first of all, what Jesus does? There are 5,000 people, okay? And it was a recipe for chaos with all those people there. But Jesus brings order into the situation. He says, and said to his disciples, make them sit down in groups of about 50 each. The disciples did so, and everybody sat down. There was order amongst what could have been chaos. And our God is a God of order. Everything that he has created is in order and is just right. Our God is a God of order. Now, I may have said some of these things to you before in our previous messages here. When you look at creation, when you look at the earth in which we live, it's all a place of order. Today is the longest day. We have 4 seasons. And the earth is tilted at 23.5 degrees, just right to give us the 4 seasons, spring, summer, autumn, and winter. Just right. God is a God of order. The earth rotates at just the right speed so that life is possible on this earth. And so if it rotated any faster or any shorter, we wouldn't be able to grow any food and so on, and life would not be possible. Our God is a God of order. Gravity is just right on this planet. If gravity was any more than it is, it would have probably taken me 2 hours to get here by car instead of 20 minutes, because my car wouldn't go very fast because of gravity. If gravity was any more, and you would find great difficulty in getting around anyway. If gravity was any less, then all the chairs in this chapel would be floating about all over the place and life would be total and utter chaos. God is a God of order, and when he created everything, he created it all just right. And so here we see that the Lord Jesus bringing order into this rather chaotic situation. And then we see something else. He takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looks up to heaven, he gives thanks, and he breaks them. And he gives them to his disciples to set before the people. And then in verse 17 we read, they all ate and were satisfied. They all ate and were satisfied. Here we see the providence of God. The providence of God. Out of 5 loaves and 2 fishes, Jesus was able to feed 5,000 people. What a wonderful providence that was. Do you see the providence of God in your life, perhaps? How you came to know Christ is one particular instance of how you may know the providence of God. Perhaps you've seen his providence in other ways. When your prayers have been answered, you have seen his providence for you in so many ways. I know one particular aspect in my own life. I used to work at Warnham Court School near Horsham, which was a boarding school for London children. I was there for 15 years, and they wanted me to learn to drive so I could drive the school minibus. Well, I didn't have any money for driving lessons or anything like that, and so they sent me to a driving school, and it was all paid for. I had a series of driving lessons. And I failed the first time, so then they put me in for a second lot. I had another series of driving lessons, and I passed, and I was able to drive for the school. And I was a bit of a late starter when it came to driving, but that was the providence of God. It didn't cost me a penny, but I was able to drive, and that's why I'm here today, because I'm able to drive in the providence of God. And perhaps you see the providence of God in your life. But the amazing thing is here that they all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over, one basketful for each of the 12 disciples. Isn't that amazing? Our God is a God of providence. So we've seen briefly three miracles of Jesus, how he calmed the storm and how he can calm storms in your life as we put our faith in him, how this man, this demon-possessed man, was totally transformed by the power of Jesus and became an evangelist, and then how God in his providence fed 5,000 people. What a wonderful Saviour we have. There's an old chorus that says, "What a wonderful Saviour is Jesus, my Lord. What a wonderful Saviour is he." And he is indeed a wonderful Saviour. We need to continue to put our trust and faith in him, our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us and rose again and ascended into heaven and one day is coming again. Well, may God bless these few thoughts to us this morning. Amen. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.